everybody, it's Mary Lou Tyler. This week's guest is a gentleman who is, I consider, my mentor. I have been following art since probably 1985. So he, art subject is our guest today. He is the president of Business by Phone, and I'm sure many of you have seen his books in Amazon. He's the guy that wrote Smart Calling, Sell More in Less Time. Oh gosh, telephone tips that sell. He is the expert in utilizing the phone for sales conversations. Art, welcome to the podcast today.
Mary Lou, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and pleasure to be here.
So, you know, I am a gigantic fan. I mean, I think it was 1985 when I first stumbled upon your work. And I know that I have followed you even in your move from the Midwest to Arizona, where you are now, and have all of your books. I am enrolled in your courses. And the reason for this is because I believe the telephone is a vital instrument for us to use in having sales conversations. So I just want to give the audience an idea of who you are and what you've accomplished. I did some research. I know that you have 29 years or so of doing a telephone prospecting and selling newsletter, 13 years of your weekly sales tips. You've done over 1,500 customized workshops, training sessions. I mean, it's incredible the work that you've done. So my first natural question is, what keeps you going after 35 years plus of doing this? What is it that just keeps you passionately involved in this industry?
Well, I guess it's the only thing that I know and the only thing I could do. That's an interesting question. And as I sit here and think about it, it's every day I wake up thinking that there are people out there who are waiting to be served, who can make a difference in the world through the greatest profession in the world, which is sales. And I'm a lifelong learner myself, and I'm constantly looking for new ideas and tips and techniques. And I still get no greater thrill. Actually, a couple great thrills. One is still selling myself, which I still do all the time, but then also seeing other people succeed saying and doing the right things in the sales process. And you mentioned the phone, of course, that's all I've done over the past, actually it's been 34 years now. And granted, a lot of things have changed over the years. Technology has certainly changed. Our ability to get information has changed. Sales enablement has changed. A lot of the things that you teach using email in the sales process. But bottom line, what hasn't changed is that people still buy from humans, and the most effective way to sell is when two humans actually speak with each other. And aside from face-to-face conversation, the best way to do that is voice-to-voice, whether it be over the telephone or a conversation through voice over IP, computer lines like we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. So I guess that was a long answer to a short question.
No, I mean, when I think about it, you've been in business as long as some of my CEOs are old. So when you think about that, you know, that's amazing.
Well, thanks,
right?
Thanks for making me feel good.
Well, hey, I'm in the same boat you are. So I am passionately involved in sales process for not as long as 35, but around 30. So I know how it is to wake up in the morning thinking, you know, who can I help today? I hear from people all over the world, still stuck in certain areas. So I'm happy to be able to help. And with your particular area of expertise, there's just a lot of, I guess it's this ability to feel comfortable that you're not going to blow it when you have that first conversation. So could you tell us, like, where does the phone fit now? Or to another way to ask that is, do you recommend or do you still see people utilizing the phone for the initial conversation and follow-up? Or do we start using different types of levers now that we have more tools at our disposal? What are you seeing out there now?
Well, I see a mix of everything. Some of it is effective, some of it's not. And it all depends on the skill and the ability and the knowledge of the person who's doing it. There's no doubt that social and email and everything else that you want to put in those categories. I mean, this whole thing called, you know, sales enablement, all these are tools that can help us facilitate a more informed, more relevant, more value-filled connection with an individual that we want to speak with. On the other hand, all those things can also be distractions, and like a tool that is placed in the hands of somebody who has no idea how to use it, it can be destructive. And I put myself in that category because I'm not very mechanically inclined. But for example, using LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn is obviously one of the greatest things that's ever come around for salespeople. But every day, you probably experience this. There are people who are abusing it because they're using it to spam people, and just because they get somebody to accept a connection, they think they now have the right to pitch somebody, as opposed to using it to gather some information about a prospect that they want to speak with, to figure out how their proposition may be relevant and of value to the person at the other end of the line, and using that information to tailor an initial connection, whether it be through in-mail, email, maybe interacting with them on a post in something that they put up on their profile, or maybe just picking up the phone and having an initial conversation, using that information to tailor that call so that they can stand apart from all the noise out there. So people can use it in a variety of different ways. I mean, there are people out there that we know who are leaders in our business, in the sales training business, who are big on you go out there and pound the phone and make a bunch of calls. You don't have to do that much research. There are people on the other side that say we can really warm this thing up by engaging in a lot of social in advance. And to me, I guess I kind of smile at the whole notion of social selling, because I mean, what is social selling? Isn't all selling social if you're doing it the right way? In my mind, what I recommend is you really need to examine what does your sales process look like? Because somebody who is doing more of a transactional sale isn't going to be investing as much time in doing all the things that somebody who's more of an enterprise sales rep, who has a very complex sales process, who might be selling to a committee, is going to be investing more time in the pre-approach and being a little bit more creative than the person who might just do a quick Google search, LinkedIn search, come up with a couple points of commonality and then place that call. And both those people can be extremely successful. So yeah, again, I don't see a one size fits all. I see a whole menu of things out there for salespeople that they can take advantage of. And my gosh, you remember back when we first started in sales, we had the phone and we had a phone book, and we can go to the library and look in some directories and get some intelligence and, you know, maybe work from a list. And today, with a couple keystrokes and mouse clicks, we can get a tremendous amount of information that can really position us as somebody who has done their research and put together a very relevant message that'll cause somebody to sit up straight, lean forward, and say, "Huh, boy, it sounds like that person's really got it going on, and you know, I wonder what they have and how they can do that."
Well, you know, I've heard a couple things. One is that for those listening, complex versus transactional. We talk about that a lot. There's also the relative position in the pipeline as to whether you're doing an introductory phone call, if your goal is to get to a discovery call where you're going to be qualifying that person more. And, you know, so the phone, I think, is a very viable tool for just cutting through all that clutter. and getting down to the meat of the matter. But as you said, it's a permission-based tool. It doesn't mean you're going to be spamming on the phone and just trying to dial for dollars, as they say, but you're really looking to take the tools that you have at your fingertips now and craft this compelling sales argument or sales conversation so that when you do talk and you do get through to the decision maker or the influencers, you'll have something of value to share with that person so that they do lean in and they do want you to tell them more. And the phone, I think, is a great tool for that. And we used to say in back in the dark ages that we used to do mail and phone. So we would do the mail and we would chase the mail to see who responded or who got the mail. And a lot of times we prepared even for those phone calls to be able to have a conversation that opened up into a more curiosity-based or inquisitive-based or something that allowed a person to kind of grab hold of the fact that, wow, these people really are thinking about my needs, my wishes, my desires, my anxieties, my nuisances, whatever it is, and suggesting that next step to get to know them, the product, the service better. So I like that. I like that a lot. My biggest thing with the phone is that I've got a bunch of people who don't like to use it. I know my children don't really use the phone. They prefer texting. So what do you do in your rhythms are to get people to embrace and start loving the telephone?
Well, for some people, they just never really have used the phone that much. And I would put the younger people in that category, not to indict an entire age group, but I think that does tend to be true. But what I see as in general, the fear of the phone stems from a lack of knowledge of and therefore confidence in what to say. And what to say does not operate in a vacuum. It needs to operate within a process. And there are too many people out there looking for the easy button. I mean, I'll get probably a few emails a week where somebody will say, well, you know, what can I say right at the beginning of the call to create interest? And my answer to that is say something interesting. So, I mean, if somebody's going to ask me a general question, I'll give them a general answer. Now, within that, there are a lot of best practices and I mean, there's a lot of things that go into how to do that effectively. And I know in your book, you talk about that and how to identify where somebody possibly might be in a buying process, if at all. Mm-hmm. And then understanding who is this person, what's going on in their world, what have they done in the past? I mean, anything and everything that can help us out. And there is so much information available to folks. So again, to answer your question, I would say if somebody has hesitancy to use the phone, number one, you can't argue with the fact that it is still being used effectively, despite what some people might say out there that the phone is dead and cold calling is dead. What I have to say to them is it's like trying to argue that electricity doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it is working right now, it therefore works. Okay. So there is no doubt that it is more difficult than ever to actually get through to people simply because people are being bombarded, depending on which study you read, by about 300 to 3000 sales messages a day, almost all of which we have to ignore. So therefore our messaging has to be more targeted and more relevant. And then we need to put it in a process and use some best practices and avoid the mistakes that people make that cause them to get shot down in their messaging. I mean, all of their messaging, whether it be email, in-mail, voicemail, or if they actually get somebody live on the phone, because there are definitely things that will cause you to get deleted or hung up on versus the ones that will cause somebody to say, oh, okay, well, that sounds like it. There might be something here.
You know, another objection I get all the time from my folks, because I'm a proponent also of what's called a call planning form, where it doesn't take that long to fill it out. And once you get in the rhythm of it, this process becomes more intuitive. But when you're first starting out, there are some objectives to think about for the plan A, if the call goes this way, then I want to do this. Plan B, if it doesn't go the way I want it, et cetera, et cetera. And the pushback I get is, we have so many people to talk to, we can't possibly do a call planning form for everybody. Is there a shortcut way, or do you teach your folks a way to sort of synthesize the information that's necessary to collect prior to placing the phone call? Or is it more that you're looking at role-specific needs, and then when you've got Betty, who's the IT liaison on the phone in that role, then you know what script to play in your head and what to say on the phone to Betty? What do you do with your folks to ready them for these types of conversations?
Well, here's the thing about preparation, and like we had touched on earlier, depending on the type of call you're placing and what you're selling and what your whole process is, it's going to require varying degrees of preparation and information collection. Mm-hmm. And for the people out there, and I've had this discussion thousands of times with people, because quite often I'll hear, I just don't have time, to do the preparation because I have to place X number of calls. Right. And my answer to that is, would you rather place an uninformed call and wing it? Or would you rather place fewer calls that are of quality and therefore have a greater chance at success? Because at the end of the day, and that's a cliche, obviously a lot of people hate it, but at the end of a calling time period, mm-hmm. what really matters? All that matters is the end result, right? Not how many times you dialed the phone, but how many successes you received at achieving your primary or secondary objectives. Mm-hmm. So, and here's something else to keep in mind. If somebody is indeed prospecting or smart calling, you're doing the bulk of your preparation prior to your first outreach. How many attempts does it take on average to reach someone? I mean, there's all kinds of numbers out there ranging from, 5 to 20, depending on who you listen to, right? Mm-hmm. So are you having to do all that preparation every time? No, you're doing it once. And then when you're placing your follow-up attempts to reach that person, you're just reminding yourself of, and you're looking in your notes and your CRM, whatever that you had collected. So you don't have to do all that preparation every single time. And also, by the way, high calling activity and doing research and placing quality calls are not mutually exclusive. There are many people out there who disguise their research as call avoidance, and that's really the problem.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. The other pushback I get is on this whole concept of voicemail, that voicemail is no longer a viable tool, and I'm a fan of it's because we're not doing it correctly rather than it's not a viable tool. What are your thoughts on voicemail? And we're not going to go into specific techniques on this call, but because people can research your information, I'll put everything in the show notes. But what is your stand these days on voicemail and how to use it effectively?
Well, my stance on voicemail is that you really have one purpose for voicemail, and that is to leave a question in somebody's mind that they want the answer to. Mm-hmm. It's not to give a pitch. It's not to ask for a decision. It's to simply make somebody curious and wonder, I wonder what that is, so that the result will be the next time you call, you'll have a greater chance of actually having it be picked up, because they might recognize the caller ID and go, oh, that was Mary Lou who told me she had some ideas here that potentially might help us reach an audience at a lesser cost than what we're doing right now. So yeah, I think I'll pick that up. Or they might tell their assistant to put the call through if we do happen to reach the assistant, which is also one of my strategies. And also, you already have it prepared, because if you've done your job and your call preparation and you created a good interest creating opening statement, the voicemail message is almost identical to that. And the only difference there is the ending of it. Mm-hmm. So if you have the opportunity to leave a brief message, why in the world wouldn't you?
Right, exactly. Exactly. You know, it's funny. The other thing that I see now is when I go into clients' offices, they're in these workflow rooms where there's long tables, they're sitting at their computer, and they're using their cell phones a lot of the time for conversation. I remember when I started following you, one of the reasons that got me really interested is I was running a 250-seat call center at the time, and we were having headset, like major headset issues. So I remember that you had a lot of good suggestions for that. Do you, even in the cell phone era, what do people need to do now with headsets that are going to be making phone calls so that the quality and clarity sounds really good?
Well, I am, this is a pet peeve of mine. I would suggest that if your livelihood depends on your messaging and what you're saying to people at the other end of the line, do not, if you can help it at all, do not use a cell phone. Because cell phones are great for almost everything but talking. I am just a huge believer in that. And matter of fact, I'll even go so far as to say that a lot of voice over IP systems are still not as reliable as they should be. I mean, I'm a dinosaur here, but I have a landline, and I always will, simply because I will not trust my livelihood in speaking with someone else who is going to be making a decision on something that, you know, where they're going to be paying me some money. I want to make sure that my communication is coming through crystal clear. So number one is, and again, if you control this at all, and this would probably apply more to business owners and solopreneurs, invest in good quality equipment. Number one would be the transmission, which would obviously be a landline. And number two, invest in a great quality headset. I happen to have a relationship and give a plug here for my friends at headsets.com. And they have absolutely the best quality headsets. Don't scrimp here. I mean, if you were going to go out and meet the CEO of a Fortune 100 company, and the results of your meeting, that face-to-face meeting, could potentially mean big business for you, you wouldn't go in wearing your Saturday clothes and look like you just rolled out of bed. And if somebody's using a cell phone for a very important phone conversation, you might just be giving that impression. Because you really don't control. Now, granted, I'm not saying every cell phone call does not sound good, but I've just had too many. They just aren't reliable. Calls getting dropped. Again, you can tell I'm passionate about this.
Mm-hmm. And the quality, like you said, especially if it takes so much effort, and we all know this, to get somebody on the phone and speak to them one-to-one, which is what we're trying to get to. Don't bungle that by having equipment that won't let you continue that conversation. Art, thank you so much for joining us on today's phone call. And I will put in the show notes all the locations and all your books. But for those listening, businessbyphone.com, that's the mothership, correct, Art, where all of your great content is?
That is. And the blog is smartcalling.com. So if you want to go direct to a lot of free tips, you can go there as well. But you can get there from the main site either way.
And I do stress that Art's work, 35 years plus now, is all about helping you guys say exactly the right things by phone. And it doesn't mean that you can't utilize this information that you're learning to put in your emails, because we're trying to make emails more conversationally oriented and less marketing oriented. So the conversation that Art teaches you for the phone, for voicemail, also will work in some of your persuasive emails that you're writing when you're trying to get your foot in the door. Again, Art, thank you so much for your time today. I loved having you on the podcast.
Mary Lou, thank you so much. Like I said, it's an honor, and let's do it again.
Okay.